The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We're currently in a series called The Ten Plagues of Egypt. Today's plagues, no one would like. We're talking about the fourth and third plagues of lice and fleas. We look forward to learning all about those unsavory characters with our special guest, David Renfro. Now, before we get to that, I want to remind you about our National Bible Conference, which is coming up quite soon. In fact, if you want to register or just learn more about it, you can go to our website, faithalone.org. Up at the top, you can click on events in the menu, and you can find out everything you need to know. You can even register right there on the site. I certainly hope to see you there. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, David Renfro, and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're exploring the plagues of Egypt with David Renfro, who's going to be one of our, if you don't know about this, we have a Grace New Testament commentary. We're going to have a Grace Old Testament commentary that's in the works now. And if you want to help us produce that, you can give at faithalone.org. But David Renfro, THM from Dallas Seminary, Old Testament expert, you'll be writing. What books are you working on for that commentary?
The Book of Exodus.
All right.
And then is it Deuteronomy, I believe?
Small, quick books.
There's hardly anything to say about those. I'm doing the Psalms. And
at least one of the minor prophets.
Yeah, I did my thesis on Micah, and so I think I'll do Micah.
Okay, and, very good.
Well,
you've been going over the 10 plagues that were put on Egypt. Everyone's familiar with the, at least from the movies, if not from the Bible. And that's the book of Exodus. We've covered two of the plagues, and we're about to look at the third plague, lice.
Lice. Talk about something that'll ruin your lifestyle, being covered with lice.
So in chapter 8, verse 16, "So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." So they're striking the dust of the land, and that kind of reminds me of how God ordered them to strike the Nile, which was kind of like hitting their god. The Nile was considered one of their gods. Why lice?
Well, just like pretty much the entire country of Egypt, it's dust.
Yeah.
It's sand.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, there is a god of the desert. Egyptians make everything in nature a god.
Right.
So it would be very appropriate for them to say the desert is a god.
All right. So they've done the icy now. So they've done the water, and now they're doing the desert.
This is interesting because it could be there's a little bit of disagreement in the commentaries about, is it really lice?
Or sand fleas or what?
Sand fleas, they are gnats.
Yeah.
We have the gnats around here in Texas. But these probably, because they were so horrible, it could be these sand fleas or what they call dog fleas that
dog
bite.
Fleas.
And so if you're covered with these things,
ouch,
life is pretty miserable.
Yeah.
So what the Lord is seeming to do, like with the other plagues in this section, remember there are three groups of three plagues, and this is the last one in the first group, that it's designed to ruin their lifestyle, so to speak, or to their standard of living or their quality of life. And this one is really, really not fun because these are flying insects that sting and bite.
And so in this case, the magicians, we've seen before, the magicians try to replicate what Moses and Aaron have done or what God has done through them. And they were successful. They were able to turn things into blood. They were able to call forth the frogs, but they couldn't get rid of the frogs.
Right.
But in this case, this seems to overpower them.
First of all, let me point something out. Notice how the lice, we'll just call them lice, even if they're gnats or sand fleas. Notice how the gnats or the sand fleas were created. From the dust. In other words, something that does not have life, sand, is turned into life.
Is this anything like Genesis? I mean, God creating us, you know, from the dust. From dust you shall return.
I can't imagine how you can make that.
Is there a connection there?
Absolutely. We're talking life out of inanimate objects.
Yeah.
And only the creator, personal infinite creator, can do that. And that's one of the points here. He's saying that he is the ruler and sovereign over that process. He can make life out of that which does not have life. You're right. The magicians could not replicate the miracle. And I love what verse 18 says. They worked with their enchantments to bring forth lies so they could show their equality with the God of Israel.
Right.
But they could not.
They could not.
So there were lies on man and beast.
And interestingly, they come up with a confession. I don't know if they have I don't know if you want to call it a change of heart, but they come up with a confession. They say, this is the finger of God.
The finger of God.
So that's really interesting. Even they admit, like one of the points was almost like an apologetic point or evangelistic point. You will know that this is the Lord. And it seems like the magicians are like, oh, this is the finger of God here.
It's a slow movement toward acknowledging the existence of the God of Israel. They're not there to believe in him like we normally define that. But they're starting to go, hey, maybe there is something to this Yahweh,
right,
and his sovereignty over his creation. So, he's the God of all the gods.
Yeah, something
and
like that.
Not that they're going to become, you know, monotheistic and only worship the God of Israel.
Right.
But they will add that to the list, but they'll put him at the top, so to speak. But notice he says it's the finger of God. That phrase is only used a few times. It's used here. It's used in Deuteronomy. It really talks about the finger of God represents the entirety of God's power.
Yeah.
We use figures of speech all the time.
Yeah, we'll say that was the hand of God.
Right.
You know, to mean God was at work there.
And we use figures of speech way more than we're even aware of consciously.
Sure.
But they are used all the time, especially in the Old Testament.
And so the magicians are like, wow, this is the finger of God, sorry. But Pharaoh does not have his heart does change, but it doesn't change in the right direction.
Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them. In other words, the magicians are saying, Pharaoh, look, there may be something to this.
Yeah.
We are powerless to do anything to duplicate it. That's what Pharaoh wanted him to do to show Moses and Aaron.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out that way. But regardless, Pharaoh didn't change.
So
his heart was still hardened.
His heart is hard. And it gets even harder.
He's remaining stubborn and hard-hearted in spite of the evidence before him. There's a lot of that going on. You can look at like I've been saying to people now, you can believe because of the facts, you can believe in spite of the facts, or you can believe when there's no facts at all. Like, I believe there's life on Jupiter.
Yeah.
Well, there's no facts, but I believe it.
Yeah.
Pharaoh is, I'm remaining hard and stubborn in spite of the facts.
Yeah.
That's just the way this is going. But notice it says at the very end, this is another statement of sovereignty, just as the Lord had said.
So this wasn't a surprise. This was according to what God knew would happen.
Exactly.
And one of the things to remember is these 10 plagues, and in fact the entire ministry of Moses, because remember he's going to use this rod to strike the rock, to bring water out of the rock, and ultimately he's not told to strike the rock, and he strikes the rock, and he doesn't get to go into the promised land. And in all of that, you can see this time of great miracles. And there's only a few of those in the entire Bible.
Right.
There's here the time of Elijah and Elisha is another great period. The time of Jesus and his apostles is another one of those times. But this is, and of course, you have other times when there are miracles, but this is very concentrated time of miracles.
It's like miracle after miracle.
And it should have led to faith.
Right.
So we finished like the first three plagues, and you said there's three sets of three. And one of the things you said in the earliest episodes was the cycle begins with a mourning, something to do with the mourning. And this is what we're going to see in the fourth plague, right?
Yeah.
And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes to the water. So there's Pharaoh coming to the water again. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me, or else.
Or else.
Or else. What's the or else?
I will send you swarms of flies.
Flies. Okay,
I hate flies.
We've had the lice.
I hate house flies.
And now we're going to have the
Or
the
those
flies.
Big barn flies, those horse flies. You ever seen horse flies? They're horrible.
Three or four of them could carry you away.
I think.
I'll send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people, into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. Ooh.
But this is the first time he doesn't have this happen in Goshen among Israelites.
Okay, and verse 22, and in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen.
So. Isn't that right? Isn't this the first time
he sets it apart? This is the first time, yeah.
Oh, so that's interesting. So the Israelites have they been suffering all this time too?
It's not said in the previous plagues that Goshen, the land where the Israelites live, were not affected. I'm assuming they were. Uh-huh. And the reason is because I'm a firm believer that Israel had to learn these lessons that the Egyptians had to learn about the nature and character of their God. But here, at this point, the Lord is showing a difference between his own covenant people.
Right, and that's what he says in verse 23. I'll make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be.
Let me make a few points, okay?
Sure.
First of all, these flies could be the dog fly, which they are blood-sucking gadflies, which means this is a miserable plague. Goshen is not affected. When he says in verse 23, I will make a difference between my people and your people, the word difference is from the Hebrew word to ransom or redeem, which is very interesting.
Interesting.
And also another thing in verse 31, when Moses asked the Lord to get rid of the flies, the Lord does it, and there is not one, it says not one remain. How many places do you know that one day there's swarms of flies that bite you, and the next day there's not a one to be had in the whole country?
Like in the frogs, they were left with all the frog corpses.
Right.
But in this case, the flies are gone.
Right.
Amazing.
Oh, and by the way, the Egyptian god is named Khepri, the fly god. They actually worshipped flies.
Wow.
So this whole thing, both of these plagues show that God is sovereign. Yahweh is sovereign over nature.
Right.
He can create nature whenever he wants to, and he can get rid of nature whenever he wants to.
Whether it's the river, whether it's the sands, whether it's the insects, he's sovereign over all things.
As I call it, it's theology 101.
And
he's God and you're not.
That's right. That's right. I love that.
That's good.
And yet, once again, verse 32, but Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time.
That's right.
Neither would he let the people go. So Pharaoh just gets even more hardened. All right, well, David, thank you very much for being with us in the studio, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org.
Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the fifth plague, which was diseased livestock. So join us for that.
I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.